We have Julie and Brandy here, and they're the sisters of Brad. And I'm going to just ask them a couple questions because I think it's important that they are able to share what happened in their lives with Brad in the house. Brandy, you're the older sister. I think we'll start with you. Tell me how it was to have Brad around your friends and what would happen with you there.
Well, I really wouldn't have my friends around Brad because usually we just go off somewhere else because they really didn't want to be around him because they thought he was a little bit wacko. So we usually didn't go around him, but when we did, we just, you know, kind of ignored him. We didn't really say anything to him.
But you and Brad got along well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a good relationship with Brad. The two of you were really close. You were closer than Julie was because of your ages and such. How was it to be in the house with Brad when there were other friends around? How did you feel in the house? Did you and Brad fight very much?
No, me and Brad fought very seldom. We hardly ever fought. It was mostly with Brad and Julie.
Did you think that there was something different or strange about Brad and the way he acted?
Yeah, I thought, you know, but I thought it was before. I thought it came from my real dad, you know, because I know that my mom didn't do that stuff and like that, but I just thought that it was normal for him to be like that.
Okay. Julie, how about you? You're the younger sister, and you and Brad used to fight a lot. What kinds of things did you fight about?
Well, about whose thing toys it was and who's going to get something first and all that.
Did Brad break your things?
Yes, he did.
So that was kind of a problem. When you guys had anything, Brad kind of broke the things or took the things away from you. What about your other friends? Did Brad's activities affect friendships for you?
Yes, he did, because he showed himself to my friends.
And so that made them kind of pull away from you, so you didn't have the kind of friends you needed and stuff, okay? When we all got together and started to have this prayer and came to the Lord and asked him to heal Brad, has there been any change in your household and any change in Brad? Brandy, you tell me.
Yeah, it's a lot quieter now.
All right. How about the way he acts around the house and the things?
He's real nice, and my friends have noticed a change in him, too. You know, now they can talk to him, you know, and not see that he's weird, but treat him like a human being now.
That makes you feel... Do you girls feel more confident now that the Lord has been involved in your lives, that your lives are going to be different as a family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And do you feel your family has grown together differently, more closely?
Yeah, they're a lot closer than they used to be.
I have one question to ask you girls. After Brad went through the prayer session, he went home and cleaned house, didn't he? There were things that had to be done. Did you girls also go home and clean house? Could you tell us a little bit about what you did there?
Yeah, I went out and I cleaned the house a little bit, and I got all my stuff that, you know, I knew that wasn't true or was demonic, and I got that all out. And one of them was my friend's unicorn. It was like a mirror, and that was hard to throw away, but I had to.
In other words, you took things in your house that you felt that the devil could use that had to do with fantasy and things that weren't truth, falsehoods, and you got rid of those things because those are the kinds of things that the devil uses as entrance to our lives, like rock music and that kind of stuff for other people. Julie, what did you get rid of in your house?
I got rid of all my dolls except two, and them are just a dog and a bear as a stuffed animal. Get rid of my Cabbage Patch and a musical playing rabbit and some other ones. I got rid of all my Barbies and my coloring books that had Barbie on it. And I got rid of a whole bunch of books and two purses.
You know, this may sound radical to many of you out there, but we have to realize that the devil is very subtle. He comes at youth and children much differently than he comes at us. But it all has to do with the world of fantasy. And you know, if these children start at a young age believing in fairy tales and fantasies, by the time they get to be teenagers, they get into the romance novels, and the next thing we know, as a married woman, they're listening to and watching the soap operas, and they're living through these other people, and their marriages go by the wayside. We have to get back to what is God. He is truth. He is light. Nothing false, nothing fantasy. These girls did clean house, and I want you to know, folks, it was not easy. I know Julie had a few tears when she had to get rid of some of her dolls, particularly her Cabbage Patch dolls. And it was painful for her, and I don't know that we're all through all of this yet. But I do know that the girls know that they cannot give license to the devil any more than a drug addict could have drugs in his house or an alcoholic could have alcohol in his home and expect to not be tempted by it.
Brandy,
and Julie, thanks for taking the time today. And I know that the Lord is going to have a great effect in your lives because you've been willing to go forward in faith with Him. Thanks. Now we come to Brad. This is the whole focal point of this tape, this young man who had been freed from demonic oppression. We got together as a group, the elder, another gentleman from the church, his parents, Brad and Alan, myself. We knelt down, we asked the Lord to please send His Holy Spirit here, and we asked that the mighty angels might come and provide protection. We had spent just a few minutes with Brad before, just telling him that we were going to anoint, that we were going to sing some songs, and that we would be reading some scripture and praying. We didn't tell Brad anything about what the experience might be like, because everybody's experience is different. So Brad didn't have any preconceived ideas of what might be happening to him. So now I'm going to ask Brad some questions, and I'm going to have Brad tell you in his own words what happened. Brad, we had to lay down and just kind of relax with your eyes closed and said prayer, and then what happened when Al went over to anoint you?
My heart started beating real fast, and I was wondering what was going to happen, and I felt a tingling sensation.
All right, and so then Al anointed you and asked the Lord to please bring the Holy Spirit here and begin to present to us if there was, in fact, any demonic activity going on. What's the next thing you remember?
The next thing I remember is I was in a world, it was just all blue. No color, it was just blue. And I looked around me and it was just clear blue color. And then I looked straight ahead of me, and there was my parents and all you people sitting there. And there you anointed me, and I saw you guys anointing me.
Okay, now it's important that we realize that Brad had his glasses off, and he's totally blind in one eye, and his vision in his other eye is very poor. He had his eyes closed, and the Lord did a marvelous thing for Brad. All these years, he had been feeling dirty and out of control and no self-esteem at all. And the Lord allowed Brad a special privilege during this prayer session that we, as prayer partners, didn't know was happening. We didn't find this out till afterwards. Brad actually had the opportunity to see what was going on in that spirit world. The Lord took the time to show him that there was really evil forces out there and good forces out there. So, Brad, what did you see coming and filling the room?
Heavenly angels, I praise the Lord for that.
And what did you say? We were just amazed when we said when we heard you talking about.
The demon said that there are squads of angels coming.
That's right. Now, folks, if you've never been in a deliverance, sometimes the devil will use a person's voice box and speak through. And so consequently, in this entire experience, we never ever talked to Brad. The demons, the Lord made the demons tell Brad and everybody what was going on. And it gave Brad the opportunity to realize that these things had been controlling him and that he had had no control over them. Al, just take a minute and tell us the first few minutes of the manifestations of what happened to him. You anointed him, and then what physically happened to him, what we could see.
Well, when we first started commanding the demons to come forward, we didn't see much activity at first. But then we began to see his eyes start to flicker, and that's one of the signs. And then his body began to twitch. And it became very apparent that there was some evil forces there. And then instantly, he went to sleep to an instant snore. Well, we knew that was a game that the demons play. So we rebuked that, and he came back awake again. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we commanded the demon to come forward and tell us what his job was, what he had been doing to Brad. And the demon immediately spoke out, "My name is Hate."
And with this, his body began to rock back and forth, and the demon began crying. Now, I think it's very important we realize that at no time did Brad speak out. These were demonic voices that came through Brad, and the Lord allowed Brad to see this, that these were the demonic forces that had been controlling him. When the demon was confronted as to when he came in, or when did he have legal right to Brad, it was pointed out that it came in from his father, and it came in because he was angry at his father, his paternal father, who had beat his mother, and had beat his mother in front of him. And so this was very, very evident. The demon voluntarily indicated that he had 82 demons working with him, and that they were not intending to leave. But the faith in this room and the mighty power of those that were in the room was absolutely dynamic. Brad, what were you watching when you saw this demon hate come out?
Well, I saw, when you rebuked it, I just saw smoke coming out of the demon's mouth.
Now remember, when Brad says he saw smoke coming out of the demon's mouth, he saw himself laying there and smoke coming out of his mouth, his form laying there. But remember, the Lord allowed him to be able to separate himself from these demonic forces that had been controlling him. And I think this is important because God is so good. He had to let Brad know that he wasn't this bad person and he wasn't this dirty person, that these things had come in from heredity. Very soon we came to the demon of soiling. And of course, this is the one we've been looking for. Brad, how did you feel when that one came forward?
I felt like I had 100 tons lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, that was fantastic. The demon said that he had come in, and I thought he said 130 years ago, and I repeated that, and he corrected me and told me it was 103 years ago. Brad, do you remember what he said, the legal right he had to come into that family 103 years ago?
I think it was because they turned against Satan, and they became Christians.
That's right. That's what the demon told us. We went down, and finally the demon of setting fires, pyromania, came. Backmasking and rock and roll came forward. We had many things that came out. But as we were going along the way, the demon made Brad come forward, lift right up, and come at Al with the Bible.
Okay, this demon of subtlety appeared to want to be violent. In fact, he said in a hateful voice, "I hate you. I want to kill you, but Jesus won't let me." And at that moment, Brad physically came up off of the bed and with his hands in a very claw-like manner, in a way to come at me. And I simply put the Bible there between us and rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And the demon said, "Jesus won't let me. Jesus won't let me."
And we want to have Brad go from here and just tell us what was happening as he went through this experience, this beautiful experience of being freed from all this bondage. Brad?
And then while I was watching, the demon said, "I want to hurt you." I can't move his hands. Notice he said his. And then the demon said, "There must be a million angels here," which was guarding Alan, Colette, and my parents and some other people we had there, so the demons will not get them. And then the demon said, "I'm done for." Then the last thing he said is, "I hate you." And when I was sitting watching it, and they rebuked the demons, I was actually seeing them come out. But they were just like black smoke. And in Revelation 9, it says something about the black smoke. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and he arose, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power." And I did not know anything about this, but after the deliverance, Al brought this out, and I was just completely shocked. And when I actually saw that black smoke coming out of me.
Can you tell us what they looked like besides the smoke? You describe them to us.
They look like just plain old outlines, empty outlines of silver, a silver color.
Okay, now, Brad, you many things were happening, and a lot of things came forward. When Al would anoint you, can you remember what the demons would do?
They would yell and scream. And the demons said, "I hate the guardian angels, and I'd like to smash your head in and kill you, but the angels will not let me."
All right. Now, let's just talk for a minute. There were some demons that didn't have a name, and we said, well, what is your job? And we finally got the demon to tell us that his job was to produce weapons. Can you tell us how you felt when you found out a demon was the one that was making you do these kind of things?
I was kind of shocked, because before this, I was making weapons. There's this iron pipe, which was about 5 foot long, and I put half of iron shears on it, that scissors that you used to cut iron with, and they're forged steel, and it was pretty sharp, so I took that off and sawed off the handle and hooked it on the end of that. And while I was doing that, I'd knock a hole in like a half an inch burn barrel, and I'd bury it just in trees and try to throw it at people. And I felt real bad about that after, but I just couldn't let that demon guilt get inside of me, so I rebuked it.
Okay, so then this demon that made you make weapons, we wanted to know when he came in. And we found out that he came in when insecurity came in, and that was your form of protection. When we came also forward in talking about these demons, the next thing that was presented to us was a demon of wetting, incontinence. We found out that came in at birth, actually from heredity, and it went back 50 years in your family. But now I want to have you tell us what came from here, because we had an experience that just didn't end at the next couple of things that were going on. A demon of anger came forward, and tell us what happened, Brad.
Well, I think the Lord really blessed us then, because the angel Gabriel came and I actually saw him. And it was just like all the wonderful things that you could think of put together. And he was just big and powerful, and at the same time, he was humble. And the demon said, "Oh no, oh no, Gabriel, he's pulling me." And then, and I actually saw Gabriel pull anger out, but when he was pulling him out, this is the first time I ever saw a demon in an empty shape of a human, and with the silver lining. When he was pulling him out, it was kind of neat to see, because you could actually see a battle going on. And when Gabriel pulled him out, he just threw it behind him, and then the demon disappeared.
Now, I want to share with you at this point what we saw happening to Brad physically, that the demons were causing him to do. His eyes snapped open, and they became as big around as silver dollars. And he sort of raised up off of the mat just a little bit, and he said, "Oh, no, here comes Gabriel." And we began to praise the Lord, because the Lord is so wonderful that he would send Gabriel down to a demon that was this strong and had been harassing him this much. And we just praise the Lord that Gabriel came. And it's so hard to portray to you on a tape what actually happened there, but it was absolutely fantastic the way Gabriel came and the way it affected the demons that were there.
Oftentimes we'll ask for Gabriel to come. We hadn't even called on Gabriel. Gabriel came, and the demons just couldn't stand it. And I think Brad has a little to share with you of the excitement.
I think you really understated it, because demons' eyes looked as big around as doorknobs. And the demon was just so shocked that Gabriel was coming, because since they're afraid of him and they know that they're going to get cast into the pit of darkness.
Okay, we found out that we had two demons of anger here. And this was very heavy because we realized after we were all done with it that Brad was potentially going to be used by these demonic forces as he got older to do some very wicked things if the Lord hadn't intervened. There was a demon of anger that would make us kill, is what they said. And then the next demon say, but we'd hold it for another day. So they were keeping Brad in constant torment. And they indicated that there were 70 demons underneath this demon of anger that were working in Brad's life. Okay, Brad, why don't you go ahead on and let's see what happens next.
The demon said that we were at the cross, and then the demon said it seems like a second ago. And then the demon said, we pierced him so hard, water flowed for us all, but we didn't want it. And if you could just think back on that, I didn't know that water and blood flowed from it, and they won't say blood because it's just real hard for them to go think back on that day, and I think this is the only instance that they mentioned the cross and this whole deliverance.
Didn't they see the cross there at your feet? I seem to recall that the demon saying, oh no, the cross is here. We can see the cross.
Yes, but the demon was looking up at the ceiling fan, which was right above him, and he was saying the cross is there, and it's still here, and my parents and Alan Collette were all praising the Lord, and it's just a wonderful thing to go through.
Praise the Lord. What's the next thing that came forward?
Temptation said that he was at the Garden of Eden, and then he said again, I was there.
We asked him how he tempted Brad, and one of the things, of course, that Brad had been having some difficulty with was some types of sexual abuse, and the demon of sexual abuse came forward. Now, Brad, tell us when the demon told you he came in.
The demon told me when he came in was real when my real father was born, and I don't really like to think about my real father because I'm not real too high on him, and the demon said that he came in when he was abused at age 4.
After this, the very next thing that came forward was the demon to kill. And I think that this is important to understand the whole series that was going on in Brad's life, how these demons worked together to manipulate him, get him angry, bring him to doing things that were unacceptable in society, and then the next thing that we have him do is to think about killing. And if you remember, when we talked to his parents, you know that they had some fears, that they felt that something evil was present in Brad and in the family. Tell us, Brad, what happened here when the demon of kill came forward.
When the demon of kill came forward, he said, I have 100 helpers under me, and then the demon said, he's big, Gabriel.
Let's hear it.
And right then I saw Gabriel again, and he's just magnificent. If you could picture him, it's just a wonderful sight to see. And then the demon said, they are coming with an army of angels. And then the demon said, Satan, help me. Satan help me, but Satan would not help him.
I want to say that the time that we spent with many folks, we have never before heard the demons call for Satan help and actually cry for Satan to come and help them. It was very unusual because I believe that they were so strong. And when they felt like and knew that they were defeated, they were calling on their commander to help them.
The next demon that came forward again wouldn't give a name, but we asked what his responsibilities were, and he said that their responsibilities were to make accidents happen, and to get the family angry so they'd be fighting. And if we think back on the history of what was going on with this family, this happened all the time. They were constantly at each other because little things, little accidents would happen. He said there were 400 helpers under them, and that this demon ruled over 9,000. Remember, folks, there's legions of evil angels out there. They ruled over 9,000, but there were not 9,000 in Brad. This demon came forward and came out, and then an interesting experience happened with Brad in relation to his two sisters. There were demonic forces that had been harassing not only Brad, but his sisters. And Brad, can you tell us what happened there?
The demon said, I am the demon Kidney Pain, and he's coming out of Brandy right now. And Then there was lying that was coming out of Brandy and also out of the family. And there's anger out of my mom, but the demon addressed her as Frida. And the demon said that she will feel a sharp pain when I come out of her. And right then she said that she didn't feel really a sharp pain, but she felt like a pressure on her. And then there was some more demons. It was called War, Fight, and Quarrel. And I used to have all this G.I. Joe and Army stuff that I used to like to play with, and this had to do with war and fighting and quarreling against nations. And this is also bring up against my sisters. And then I think it was the demon Quarrel said, "I hate the church. The bells are ringing. I hate those bells."
Now we need to take just 1 second, because as we said, this not only affects this family and Brad, but it affected the whole church. This church has been with a set of bells that haven't rung for 20 years. And there's been a lot of disunity in the church, and there's been a lot of things happen within this church family. And it appeared that Brad was being able to be the catalyst to bring this church family all together as one unit, to come together in unison. And it was like the Lord was allowing Brad to hear those bells ring in that church again. Interestingly enough, Brad, hadn't you talked about please ringing those bells about a week or two before?
Yeah, and I asked him if I could ring it, because I would like to ring it before the church service. And last time we went to church, we rang those bells.
When we got all done with this, those bells rang. Okay, we want to go on ahead. We had fear that came forward. And then, Brad, tell us what came on during this period of fear.
Fear said that he was in the ark, and Fear said he also had two under him, which was nightmare and fright of everything. Fright of parents, afraid of hitting him or yelling. And right then the demon said, goodness is coming, and goodness is an angel. And he also said that he took Satan's place out of heaven when Satan was cast out of heaven.
Now tell us what happened, because we'd never heard of the angel goodness before. We all looked around the room at each other and asked the Lord, what do you mean, goodness?
Well, I saw the angel goodness, and he was standing in a doorway beside Gabriel. And when after the deliverance was all over, goodness came in, and he just formed like a cyclone around my body, and he just ended up right in the heart and just filled it up with goodness and love.
And how did you feel after?
Great.
The Lord is so good to us. All right, we're going to go on ahead to the point where he had a couple of demons of backmasking and rock and roll come in. Where did they come in? Where did they get legal rights to you?
At this place, which was a psychological hospital, they would wake me up playing rock and roll music real loud over loudspeakers. And the first day I was there, when they woke me up, I was wondering what was going on. I thought they were having a party, and I just slept late or something. But when I got up, I found out that they woke people up playing rock and roll, and I got addicted to it, and my Bible and lesson study was there, but I strayed away from them and didn't bother to look at them. And that's how I got away from the Lord, and that's why most demons entered me then. And right then at the deliverance, I was laying there and I was seeing myself. I looked over toward the doorway and I saw this outline of a devil. And on the inside it was a silver color, and on the outside it was gold. I didn't realize that that was Satan himself. And that's why the demon before said, "Satan, help me." He was looking right at him. But Satan's anger and hate won't help his followers, because he does not like them. He don't like anybody, really. And then, right then, the demon looked the other way and saw Gabriel. And the demon goes, oh no, Gabriel, I don't like Gabriel. And then the demon put a pillow up in front of his face. It was the funniest thing, because, and the demon said, Gabriel is making me look through the pillow. And I just praise the Lord that the demon got cast out, and I'm praising the Lord all day long, all the time. Right then, Gabriel picked up the demon and threw him out behind him. Then the demon disappeared. And Satan was sitting in the other doorway, watching the whole scene. And then other demons were following behind the one demon to come out. And then I saw the whole thing, and I saw a wall around my mom and my dad and the other people that were there, and Dennis and Alan Collette. I could see the angels in front of them, but I could also see them. And the angels didn't speak one word during this. And
what would happen when the demon would make Brad come up after somebody or with the Bible? Or there was one time the demon tried to make you choke. What happened then?
When the demon came out my throat, a guardian angel, which was Gabriel, he was holding him back. And after that incident, Al was praying, and the claw-like hand just came down and finally went to the side. Then, I think it was then when he rose up and tried to attack my mom, but the angels would not let him. I saw the wall of angels guarding my parents and Dennis and the other people that were there. And this is the scene that I saw in front of me, which, see, every time Al or Colette moved, the angel was right in front of them, guiding them. And I praise the Lord for that, because if it wasn't for the guardian angel to be in front of us, we'd probably be not in this world right now. And there must have been a billion angels around my parents and Dennis and the other people that were there and Alan Collette. And they're just, walls are just thick with angels. And I just praise the Lord, because I know he sends down his angels to protect us from the evil one.
Brad's doing so well here. You know, we had a demon of hurt that had been in the family about 500 years. And whenever people would call Brad names, then the demon of hurt would make Brad hurt and he would want to do other things. But I think we're come to the other part of the story, and that's when this demon of hate rose up again. He hadn't been completely cast out, and he told us that he had been there. He was there before, but he was there also in the church. And Brad was willing to stand in the gap, not only in the gap for his family, but to be the catalyst, as I said before, for this church family to come together. So now tell us, Brad, what happened when that demon of hate raised his ugly head.
I like how you said that, the ugly head. I thought it was. And the demon said, I get my orders from Satan. We do not call him by his heavenly name, which is Lucifer. And I'm going out, but there's another one after me. And this one was the first one that came out, and you guessed it was hate. And the hate was at a church, and it was hate that was saying, I hear those bells. I hate those bells. And when we went to church and rang those bells, I do believe that in the pit, them demons heard them. And they must have done something, because I just praise the Lord that we'll be able to ring the bell.
It's interesting that we found out later that this was the church family that came from the original family of members, believers, that gathered together at Lovett's Grove for Ellen White when she received her vision of the great controversy, and that the devil himself had a particular hate for this church and has been trying to destroy this church. When this demon of hate manifested itself, he indicated that he'd been trying to destroy this church through every means possible and try to get this church closed down. It's interesting that when this church came together all in one accord in the power of Jesus Christ, and they prayed for a unity, that this miracle happened. Now, the demon screamed out exactly what they had to hear in order to come out. And I'm going to let Brad tell you what happened there.
The demons said that they had to say the name Jesus Christ before they came out. And with all the followers behind hate, when he came out, I just heard, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, over and over. And when Colette told them to be quiet, and Al made Hate say, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Hate said it slow, but he did say it. And I just praise the Lord for all of this.
At that point, Hate came out because he couldn't stand the name of Jesus Christ. And we saw such sweet victory. We anointed for a healing. We anointed to make sure that there was nothing else in Brad's life that the Lord wanted to clear at this point. And then Brad had the opportunity to share with us the marvelous things that we didn't know, that he was actually able to observe this whole battle going on. We have to say that there was a battle and a victory here, not only for Brad, not only for his family, but for a church family that has hung together in spite of the attacks of Satan and has become so solid with the Lord that I don't believe anything can shake them as a group. They are going to go through as mighty victors because of this deliverance.
Amen. Amen.
Brad has something he needs to tell you.
The first thing I said when I came back to my world body said, "You tell me there ain't no God, and if there ain't no God and you believe there ain't no God, you're going to hell."
This boy is a changed boy. Now we're going to talk to his parents for just a couple more minutes because they're the ones that are able to see the victory at the cross. Parents, tell us what it's been like to have the new Brad home.
Well, I'd like just to say that after the deliverance was over and Brad was back to his normal self, there was such, well, we had to see through teary eyes. We were all bawling so much, and for me that was a miracle in itself because I haven't cried in 15 or 16 years. So that was a miracle for me. But we noticed right away that Brad's whole countenance had changed, that there was joy in his heart, that there was goodness in his soul, and that he was no longer, you could just tell just by looking at him, that he was not under any demonic oppression. It's been a week now since the deliverance. Brad's just been what I would say a normal 13-year-old boy. I mean, he's not a perfect child, as no 13-year-old child is, but he's what I would say normal. He doesn't, as far as the soiling, he hasn't had any bouts with that. Just so many things. He went home and entirely cleaned out his house, his room, and I mean, there was bag after bag after bag of stuff that came out of there, things that we didn't even know he had up there, but he knew that if he kept them there, that would just leave one door open for, anything to come back. So he wanted to clean out his whole entire room, and even the house. There were certain things in the house that we went home and prayed about and that we got rid of. But as far as Brad goes, he just praises the Lord every day. We're praising the Lord with him. We're excited. We're so thankful that this missing link and the whole gospel message that we believe this missing link finally came to us and that our son could be healed from all this demonic oppression.
Well, the biggest thing that shocks me, I think, is the fact that he immediately, he was just another whole person. The biggest change in Brad was his whole personality. He was so calm, so laid back, so easygoing, whereas before we couldn't even have a conversation. He'd be as though he was a lion trapped in a cage. As many other people has witnessed, he was walked back and forth, paced back and forth. I couldn't have a conversation with him. He'd make me so physically dizzy because he was just walking back and forth, pacing as if he could walk around whom he could devour. That's just what I thought all the time. And now he's just so cool, calm, and collective. And I just can see every day, and I'm the type that, and I'm watching, and I'm careful that, you know, I look for any little detection of any kind, and I've not seen any, and I know that I won't. And we have prayer every day, and it's just so wonderful to hear him praising his Savior. And you know, it's so true when God says that a child will lead them. Well, he truly did lead our family. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. This young man got up in church this week and gave his testimony. And before we had this deliverance, he said, "I don't want anybody to know about this." When it was over, he said, "Who can I tell first?" He was on his way. Parents, thanks for being so brave to take your time and share this heartbreaking story, but the beauty that Christ can do when he makes a family whole again. Thanks.
Dear friends, this has been a most fantastic experience for us. But we realize that it's impossible to make this experience come alive on tape. The most important thing, though, is this. There must be others out there that need help in this way or another way. We want you to know that there is help for you. Contact the Intercessors. INTERCESSORS at 90 North River Drive, Roseburg, Roseburg, Oregon, 97470. Area code 503-673-2223. Or Martin Ministries, Post Office Box 316, Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, Oregon, 97358. Area code 503-859-2533. Friend, if you need help, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. There is help for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. We pray that this tape has been a blessing to you.